looking at question 72 and 73 of the Heidelberg Catechism, and I was thinking as I've been going through this last few weeks, the writers of the Catechism spent a lot of time on the sacraments and baptism. We looked at three questions last week, two today, and another one on baptism next week. But I think that they did that intentionally. They wanted to make sure that they got it right, and they clearly explained what baptism really is. So today's question number 72 is, does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? The answer is no. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Seems a little redundant, some of these questions, but like I said, I think that they wanted to make sure that we clearly understood what baptism means. This is a very important question to answer. I'm sure that the writers of the Catechism understood that this question must be answered correctly, for this question distinguishes the Reformed Protestant view of baptism from the Roman Catholic view, and the difference in views matter a great deal. The Roman Catholic Church believes that baptism is necessary for salvation. They believe that the act of baptism itself causes regeneration. Baptism, they believe, is a means used by the church to bestow saving grace on people. This teaching is wrong. The writers of the Heidelberg wanted to make it very clear that the waters of baptism administered by the church do not remove our sins, but are a sign of the inward work of the Holy Spirit as the blood of Christ is applied to our hearts. 1 Peter 3:21 is one of the text proof text says this: baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At first glance, it says that baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. But it's not what Peter is, what he means in this verse. It doesn't save us. In this verse, Peter is comparing the waters of the flood that saved Noah to the salvation signified by the waters of baptism. So the outward sign does not save, but the inward transformation that comes through Christ. This is how we are saved, only through Christ. 1 John 1:7, another verse they cite, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. We are saved through the blood of Christ alone. The old hymn that we're all familiar with, it says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The words of this old hymn are true. It's not baptism that saves, or Jesus and the waters of baptism that save. It's not a combination of Jesus and baptism. But salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. If the water of baptism could take away our sin, then the blood shed on the cross would not be necessary. And we know that that is not true. We must never include any kind of work to our salvation, including baptism. Our salvation is a free, sovereign work of grace. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is not cited in the Catechism, but I thought of these familiar verses. For by grace have you been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We dare not include baptism or try to make it some kind of a work, because it clearly states here in Ephesians that grace and faith is a gift of God, and it's not a result of works, so that we may not boast. God receives all the glory. That's so important. And I believe that even with the doctrines of grace, Reformed theology, it's one of the things that sets it apart. God receives all of the glory in these doctrines. And question number 73 then says, why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of rebirth and the washing away of sins? The answer, God has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that the blood and spirit of Christ wash away our sins just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. But more important, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. Can you ever remember a time when you were really, really dirty? I thought about a hunting trip that a friend of mine took many years ago in Colorado, and we were in the mountains, backpacked in for about 8 days, and we didn't take a bath in 8 days. And I can remember how miserable I was. And we packed back out to the truck, our trip was over. The first thing we did was get a couple buckets of water, set up our camp stove, heated water, and it was just wonderful. That water felt so good. It cleansed us, washed the dirt off of us. Water is a real blessing from God. Without water, how would we get clean? We don't think about it that often. Shampoo and soap are great, but try using them without water. Water cleans us. God chose to use water in baptism as an example, something all of us can understand and identify with. Water removes dirt. It makes the body clean. And as we experience the water of baptism, or even see someone else baptized, we are able to identify as to what is taking place. God teaches us, is what the Catechism says, what he has done and what he will continue to do in our hearts, the cleansing of sin. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." We have been cleansed, washed, sanctified by the blood of Christ and by the Spirit of God. The second part of the answer, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. Romans 6, 3 and 4. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." This is an appropriate verse for Resurrection Sunday. Our old man was buried, baptized into the death of Christ, and just as surely as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we are given new life in Christ. I was talking with Alyssa last night at home, and I said, "Tomorrow's Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, Alyssa." I said, "What would have happened if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead?" And she looked at me and she said, "God would still be angry with us." I thought, that's a good answer. It really is. Had Christ remained in the tomb, then we would be lost without hope. We too would forever remain dead in our trespasses and sins. But Jesus did not remain in the tomb. God raised him from the dead, and because he lives, we too have eternal life. The water of baptism signifies this new life we have in Christ. And as we think of baptism, our own baptism, or even watching someone else as they are baptized, may it ever be a source of great assurance of the inward work of the Holy Spirit as the blood of Christ has been applied to our hearts.